TED Audio Collective.
So, Francis, I've been thinking about the romance of leadership, which is this idea that you're essentially...
You have it or you don't have
it. You have it or you don't. You're born with it. And I think it can get in the way of a couple of things, including graceful career advancement, because sometimes we're promoting people beyond their capacity to manage others.
You know, being a faculty member at the Harvard Business School, I believe management and leadership can be taught.
Right.
So we all have the capacity to do it. But because you have the capability to do it, doesn't mean you have the motivation to do
right.
it. Doesn't mean it sparks joy. But if we were going to teach someone management, there's some basic blocking and tackling. You know, are people satisfied in their work? Are they given a steady set of increasingly difficult responsibilities so that they can stretch and grow? But all of those things take a chunk of time. In fact, good managers probably spend 50% of their time at a minimum on thinking about the performance of others. There are some people and some people at some times for which they just want to do the work. They don't want
right.
to manage other people doing the work.
Right. Yeah, I think it's an important distinction. And I also think it's important to challenge this assumption that progressing in my career means that more and more humans need to rely on me so that I am spending all of my time thinking about the behavior and performance and needs of other people at a moment in my career where I may be wanting to contribute in other ways.
You know, I think a lot about the organizations that you started. There are, like, there's individual contributor level one and then individual contributor level two. And you can go up to a very senior level and still be an individual contributor because they're deep experts.
Right.
It often happens
right.
in the scientific field. And the last thing I want is someone who's like a beautiful scientist having some ambition, and that means they have to go into dilute that and go into management.
Right, which so, we see all the time.
Yeah. yeah. And so one of the things we do is advise organizations to have worthy individual contributor paths and worthy management paths.
Yeah. And in my defense, I never labeled a job level one, level two, level three. But I will say there was a clear expert path.
Yes,
to
that's much better.
Status and impact and compensation
yes.
in the organization, and that was a very deliberate choice because I think what we see all the time is people still even in 2023 getting promoted out of their not just their expertise but out of their joy and out of their passion for the work. And I think when we get creative about those pathways and job design, those are trade-offs we don't have to make.
Welcome to Fixable. I'm Ann Morris. I'm a company builder and leadership coach.
And I'm Frances Fry. I'm a professor at the Harvard Business School and a man's wife.
And on this show, we believe that meaningful change happens fast. Anything is fixable and solutions are often just one conversation away.
Who do we have today, Ann?
Today we are speaking with Eliana, which is not her real name. Eliana is at the director level of a nonprofit, and she's having some issues with one of the team leads who reports to her. So let's hear directly from her what's going on.
Hi, Anne and Francis. This is Eliana. I work in a nonprofit that's focused on social impact and education. The issue that I'm having is that I hired an incredible staff member about 1 year ago, and I have to say he delivers phenomenal work. But the challenge I'm seeing is a lot of interpersonal struggles with the team that he manages. So what I'd like to know is, how can I solve some of these interpersonal and communication challenges? How can I coach him to be a stronger leader and manager? And how can I make some of the changes to accommodate the needs of the staff that he manages? Thanks again, and I hope to hear from you soon. Bye.
Francis, what's your reaction?
I love this challenge. How do we help someone who to help them help someone, right? So this is like literally the ripple effect.
Yeah, and I'm really curious, I have to confess, about the true cost of these interpersonal problems. Sometimes that true cost doesn't bubble up to the top. So I'm looking forward to pulling out some of these variables and seeing where we are.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Are you driving your car or doing laundry right now? Podcasts go best when they're bundled with another activity. Like Progressive home and auto policies, they're best when they're bundled too. Having these two policies together makes insurance easier and could help you save. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. Quote a home and car bundle today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Hey everybody, it's Neil. I've got some huge news. Decoder is moving to Mondays and Thursdays. We're adding a second episode of the show. On Mondays, we'll have our classic interviews with CEOs and other troublemakers.
I think we're going to have to start having conversations about how do we pay those jobs that can't be done by AI.
And on Thursdays, we'll be explaining big topics in the news with Verge reporters, experts, and other friends of the show.
There's a new generation of people on the internet. Google search has always sucked for them. So, you know, there's no reason for them to be loyal. They can just go to TikTok.
This is going to be really fun. I'm very excited about all this. So go subscribe wherever you get your podcasts now.
Welcome to Fixable.
Thank you so much for doing this. I read Unleashed. I heard you guys on some podcast and I was like, this is amazing. That book changed my life and I bought it for my entire team. So in some ways I'm like, I hope they're listening to the podcast, but also I hope not because we're going to have this conversation, but they should be.
So. Eliana, I don't know what it is, but there's something we really like about you already. You have earned a spot on this podcast.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Well, we know from your voicemail that you are dealing with a very talented employee who is struggling with their direct reports. Is that a fair summary?
That's a fair summary. And I will say the situation has evolved slightly.
Wonderful.
And so it's now, I would say, not just a matter of the direct reports, but there are some really critical kind of table stakes skill sets that I think I'm unsure if they can be developed, definitely not within the time frame that I need for this role. And so I'm really in a space where I'm like, I may need to make a leadership change, but we'll talk through it and see what we come up with together.
Awesome. Yeah. Let's get into your role a little bit just to give people some context. So tell us about the job that you're doing for this organization right now.
Sure. I work for a nonprofit that essentially focuses on social impact programs for young adults. It's a Jewish nonprofit, and the young adults run programs anywhere from holiday programming to fundraisers, giving back in the communities they live. And in my role, I oversee all of our global operations. And it's a team of about 60 plus individuals that I oversee with 7 direct reports. And there's just, you know, 10,000 plates spinning at any given moment.
Got it. It's a big job.
It's a big job.
What do you love about the work you're doing right now?
I had, like so many people, a sort of pandemic revelation. I had this very specific moment where I wasn't super happy in my job. I was working in like the dream job that I thought I had. I finally had enough money to buy my mom a car and like pay off my student loans and do all of these things. And I was so unhappy and like rail thin and just super stressed. And so I was like, I'm going to start like looking for something else. And then someone that I'd worked with for many years, who's the CEO of this organization, called and said, hey, you know, the co-founder just stepped down and like you were the first person that came to mind to run this organization with me. And I thought, what a gift to be able to work for an organization that I love with a mission that I really love and have the trust of your CEO and a real partner in that work. That's definitely not what I had at my previous organization.
And Eliana, on your hardest days at this job, what's hard about them?
You know, I had to really learn how to manage and communicate differently here. I'm typically like a pretty cerebral person in my professional life. I like to keep work and personal life separate. So this is just a much, much different environment. And so everything that I had learned about management, most of it I had to completely throw out the window. the people who work in this environment are much more sensitive, I find, and I'm not always that way. And I made a lot of mistakes in management early on. And a piece of feedback that I got from my CEO that I thought was so bizarre, he's like, when you start your meetings, you need to ask people how they are and ask about their personal life, which I was like, this is like so uncomfortable for me, but I'm like practicing it. And then a couple months later, he's like, okay, so you've been doing it, but the team feels like you don't really care. Like you're doing it as a formality and you're doing it, but that you don't, you're not really interested in how their kids are doing. And I'm like, well, that's because I'm like not super interested, but it's, I've become that way, but like, it really kind of gets me out of my comfort zone.
Oh yeah, we're going to, that one is going to be deliciously taken care of in a few moments.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so excited.
So let's get into the staff member who's having a tough time. And I want to give them a pseudonym just to keep everything clear.
Let's call my staff member Eric.
Eric. Great. Okay.
Yeah.
So did you hire Eric?
I hired Eric, yes.
And when you first called in, you were using pretty great language about the things that Eric was doing well. You know, phenomenal and incredible. So let's start with the good stuff. What is he delivering for you, producing for you that stands out in this positive column?
So Eric, I would say the first thing that stands out to me is that Eric is really passionate about the department they lead. So this is a subject that they are so passionate about and have dedicated their life to. That's fantastic. And the other piece is, as I mentioned before, we are a global organization that sits in the US. And when I first started this role, something I kept hearing over and over again from my global team was that it's like, we're so US centric in an organization that's supposed to be global. And I thought it was really powerful to hire someone who is from a different country, speaks multiple languages, and has that global perspective. So that was also something that got me really excited. And I still think that it's an asset.
Great. So what's not working for them?
I would say almost every piece of work that gets put out requires oversight, whether that's just in writing, you know, anything that's going out, and sometimes writing internally, because you lead like a pretty large team and you've got to set an example, punctuation, capitalization. I got called like dude a bunch of times the first joined here. So I'm like, it's really important that, you know, we don't want to be rigid, but there's like an air of professionalism and again, table stakes that you come with. So everything needs to be edited and just looked over. I recognize this is so difficult for someone who speaks a different language, but there's just a lot of follow-up around like, hey, are we doing this? Are we going to those speaking classes that we recommended and I paid for and all of that? And I get really, really frequent reports and sometimes phone calls from staff about this person's communication, that they're not clear, that they don't set direction, that they're not open for feedback, that, you know, when someone does muster up the courage to talk to Eric and give constructive feedback, that it's like, okay, I hear you, but nothing is ever followed up on or adjusted. Right.
And Eliana, is this Eric's first management rodeo, or are they coming at this with some experience as a manager?
That's like a prerequisite for any role on my team, because people always be managing layers, that they come with significant management experience. So they're coming with management experience, but like really poor.
Will you give us an example of maybe something you're hearing from the team about what's not working with Eric?
Yeah. So something I hear a lot is, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, what my role is. My job has not been explained to me. I don't know where my work fits into the larger picture of things. That's something that I hear a lot.
Got it.
And it's an interesting like sentiment, because again, I'm coming from places where I'm like, if I was at, you know, said large company and said, I don't know where I fit in this giant company, they'd be like, okay, well then you don't. Like, you know, what I heard before was like, my previous supervisor was like, if you need me, I don't need you. And so, but people need a lot of the needs are just different here, and people need a really clear picture of like, this is the mission, this is how you fit into it. They also need to feel bought in and informed and like they're contributing to the process, but also that they don't have any agency or say of like what their, you know, how their work should inform the larger strategy. That comes up over and over and over again. Again, it's something that I'm like, I wish people didn't need that, but it's like, we have to adapt our leadership and communication style to the needs of the organization. And that is like writ large here. People need the vision.
Got it. So how are you thinking about your problem today?
It's really on my mind. I have a lunch tomorrow. I'm taking Eric out to lunch. So whatever we decide today will be maybe a great conversation for tomorrow. But because I really just need to get a real sense of like, where are you at? And like, do you feel like this is going well? I think there's a sense that like my staff is unhappy. They're struggling. There's disunity on the team. So I feel for them in that sense. And that's on my mind a lot because I know what it's like to be in that position. And I'm also thinking about the team that I have a sense that Eric may have lost the trust of their team in a way that is irreconcilable. And the longer that I let this sit, because it's been 2 years since the individual's been on staff, you know, I lose trust with the team. And we have, you know, one person at risk in this high level role, but then we've got dozens of individuals who've expressed their unhappiness at risk below. So it's like the whole thing feels like very fragile right now.
Right. So let me just test a couple of items on our menu. So it sounds like you have to make a significant change. That's clear. Are you open to moving this person into a different kind of role on the team? Or are you at a point where it feels like it's to separate or not separate? That's the decision.
I'm very open. And the way I'm thinking about it is to adjust the role.
Got it. Frances Fry, summarize for us. Where are we?
I'd be delighted to. So it sounds to me like you hired somebody with, you know, with great promise. They fit all of the resume aspects of it. But what we've learned, and I think these are hard to learn in reference checks, but I hear three things. It's the professionalism. It's the management style, I think, is another one. And I think growth mindset is a third one. And so to me, those are the three places that it sounds like it's a problem. And when I heard 2 years, so I was honestly thinking 3 months or 4 months, if this has been going on for 2 years, that's a very long time for an organization to have to endure. And so when we get to the prescriptions, I think I will perhaps advocate a more accelerated pace of things as a result of that. But how does that sound on the summary?
It's great. I mean, it's not great, but it's a very accurate summary. The piece about growth mindset, that's all resonating very, very strongly. And I had not thought about it in that way. And one other piece to add is like in line with that sort of inability to foster a sense of psychological safety, sort of in line with all of that among the team.
Yeah.
The foundation of performance.
People don't feel comfortable giving feedback or, you know, being honest and open because of that sort of combative nature around these honest and tough conversations.
Yeah. So as you can imagine, Frances and I have a ton of ideas about how to solve this problem with Eliana, and we'll be getting into that right after the break. Eliana, let's jump right into this job design question, which I think might be a rich place for us to spend some time. So if we were going to design their role so that the management lift is lower and or completely eliminated, so then they become an individual contributor, what would their job look like? Is that a viable path? Where does your mind go with that direction?
Yeah, Eric is a really talented educator and a really talented facilitator. As far as just like creating like an engaging learning experience, that is where they really, really shine. That has very little to do with their current role right now.
But just to point out, it sounds super relevant to the mission of the organization.
Totally. You know, when we've had new systems that the team has gotten on, that they jump in and they're like, I'm going to train everybody. And it's like, wow, thank you for doing that. And great. So that's where I would say they're extremely, extremely skilled and talented and thrive and happy.
So let me just throw out a straw human to react to. You're showing up at lunch tomorrow. What if you show up and say some variation on, listen, this isn't working out. I see all of these talents in you that we are not utilizing very well as an organization. And let me be super clear. Staying in your current role is not an option. I'm going to offer you a second option, which is for us to get you in a new role that we can design together because we really value you on the team. A third option is we come up with a dignified exit from the organization. But it is not an option for you to stay in your current role with your current duties. And we're going to have an adult-to-adult conversation about that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, our listeners can't see your face. So would you describe...
Biting my nails. Just picturing us at this lunch. I haven't seen Eric in person in, you know, a couple weeks. And so it's like, catch up. Let me get right down to the punchline. So... yeah, but it makes me nervous.
Yeah, the tell me how you think it's going will sound performative in retrospect when you already had clarity in your mind. So would definitely recommend against that. Even though it might make you feel better warming up to the conversation, it's probably unfair to Eric. To do it that way.
Yeah.
My advocacy would be to try to get your ducks in a row and go have the difficult conversation tomorrow.
Me too.
If you can't get your ducks in a row, then I would postpone and push it off. Because the signaling that you're sending to the other talented people on the team that you are willing to tolerate lack of professionalism, lack of psychological safety, lack of performance is having a culture, I'm going to use a strong word just to create some tension for you, a culturally corrosive impact.
Yeah.
And that's the price. First of all, we adore you. Adore you. And it's not just because you're a loyal reader, but you present as incredibly talented, good at your job, care, like deeply activated by
world.
The mission. So you present as incredibly effective in the workplace. And I think some of that empathy is getting in the way of your ability to manage the other people on the team right now because you have lowered the bar just by definition because you haven't yet taken action for Eric.
Yeah, yeah. Well, on one hand, I'm excited to tell my CEO that my empathy index is higher than he'd like to. But I think that that's accurate. Yeah. And the ramifications of lowering the bar here have such a detrimental effect on others, which,
And that's the part of the equation that we often don't properly weigh when we're thinking about these kinds of significant job change or separation decisions. We think about the impact of the person. We think about the impact on us. But the impact on everyone else in the ecosystem is just as material. And often when we weigh those variables correctly, the right decision reveals itself.
Yeah.
I'd like to add in one thing here, which is when Anne was saying, you know, you can't stay in this current job. I would even just have in the top of my mind the way in which I would talk about it. And so it'll be multi-pronged, but one of them is how you interact with others in terms of just the norms and professionalism. But the other one that's much bigger is on the management side. And here's how we know when someone's being a great manager. Is their team thriving? Like a great way to know if you're a good manager is the performance of the team high? And is the employee satisfaction and safety of the team high? And that's not what's going on. It's flat or declining. It's not increasing, even in the presence of feedback, which brings to the third part is your agility and growth mindset. So I think that even with just that simple language, it's like a dense two paragraphs. I would maybe rehearse that a little bit so that it sounds casual, but comprehensive.
Frances, I love all of that. And I want to put just a technical caveat on this. To translate the directness of my messaging into the norms of the organization, get input from HR, be really thoughtful about the menu of options. It's probably not, you're not coming back to work tomorrow. It's, you know, this is conversation A.
Yeah.
Conversation B is that we explore a whole new path for you in this organization. So again, you might say something to Eric like, this is what I'm really excited about. So I want you to really hear me when I say, I think you have all of these incredible talents that you have revealed to us indirectly that I'd love to deploy very directly to advance the important mission of this organization. Here's what I think they are. Here's the contours of the role. You know, this is what I would like to offer you, but I would like to finalize this job together. You and I are going to co-produce what this role is. But I've already, you know, talked to our HR team and, you know, we see a place for you on this team.
You know, this piece of like saying, I want us to co-produce this role together gives me great cover for not having it completely ironed out tomorrow.
Nice.
And also gives them some agency and buy-in in the process, which I think will also be important. You know, I missed the mark here when I hired in terms of that gap between what someone is, and we do that sometimes, but this is a chance to kind of make it right for the department and for that person.
So there are three options, right? He can stay in the current role, which doesn't seem like a good idea here. We can design a new role together, which could actually be quite exciting. Or, and I think we should take this one seriously, the graceful exit. Putting all three of them in one conversation signals both the comprehension and the seriousness with which this conversation should be received.
Yeah. I will say when I had my last performance appraisal with this person, I mean, for both, they were really, really surprised by the rating I gave with examples and with like a very clear plan. And so I think that Eric is going to be pretty surprised.
I think the other part there is that despite having presented it to him in the past, it's still a surprise today is part of the like non-permeable issue that we have that's where the growth isn't occurring. Because if you don't absorb, you can't pivot.
Yeah.
And on that point, just before I forget this, I think having some phrases so that Eric doesn't have to necessarily respond immediately.
Yeah.
Say, listen, I'm going to lay this out for you, and then I want to give you 24 hours to think about it. Let's have another conversation before the day ends on Tuesday. You know, because that also signals, like, this is not bullshit. You know, like, There are lots of nonprofit organizations that are not great at this, and I think you also get to really model for your team. This is happening, Eric. So I'm going to give you a chance to absorb this. You don't have to answer right away, but you know, within 48 hours, let's have another conversation, and then let's figure out together what the right path forward is.
Okay, I like that.
I want to add one more thing to this, which is you said you had embedded in this that, you know, you wish that the team didn't need what I would call good management, which is to know the mission, the vision, the clarity of their role clarity. Yes, they should need that. And that is like not too much to ask. That is what we would call good management. It's not a weakness in the individuals. That is 100% good management hygiene. Mm. So the sentence that you said really is going to haunt me. But if you need me, I don't need you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Like that is, we would put that in as the what great management is not.
Okay. That's really good to know, because this is part of where I came from and where I cut my teeth managing.
Sounds like where you came from was the myth of the deep end. And the myth of the deep end is, oh, we just throw people into the deep end around here. And the reason it's a myth is, one, it doesn't work. Two, we don't throw everyone in the deep end. People who are really like us, oh, we paddle out there. We bring them a beverage. We give them a floaty. So we only tend to throw people who are quite different from us. And I don't know how demographically different you were from the person who said, if you need me, but I would put money on the fact that you're demographically different.
Not a Caucasian tech bro, yeah. So I was a little different.
Exactly. I would have bet a lot of money
on that. It's a shocking turn in the story.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. And the mantra I want to give you, Eliana, is I am a leader of the whole team. I'm going to put it in an I statement, but walk in as the leader of the entire team.
I have to think about all the individuals in that.
Yes. And everyone who is being affected by Eric's behavior.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm nervous. But practice. And this will be better in the medium and long run than what we have now. What we have now is not sustainable, not healthy.
How are you feeling compared to when we started this conversation?
Well,
more nauseous.
I feel, yeah, definitely. I feel a little nauseous. I feel like I need to like get a stress ball or something, but I have a pathway and I didn't have a pathway before. And sometimes the pathway is scary and it's going to take courage. There's a saying in Jewish tradition. It's like, kolam kulod gesher tzarmayot. It's like the whole world is a narrow bridge. And the most important thing is to not be afraid. And so now I can see the bridge. And, you know, sometimes the answer is a little bit scary. And I just, but it will be better for Eric in the long term and the team and the organization and the important mission that we serve.
Awesome. You just gave me chills.
Oh. You gave me chills too.
Thank you.
Well, it was our privilege to spend time with you.
We'll be thinking about
and
you
be
tomorrow.
Helpful. We're standing right next to you in spirit.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Francis, what do you think? What surprised you about that conversation? What didn't surprise you?
Yeah, so the part that surprised me, she has high standards and compassion, which is something that you and I talk a lot about, like the magical elixir it is to have both of those. And she fell into a little bit of a trap that we also sometimes see, that for an individual, we sometimes insidiously lower the standards and we think we're doing it out of kindness. And so I think that she has been doing that. And with the wake up call, which I believe that she just received, and to the point you are making, it's not kindness to everyone else. It's not even kindness to the person we're doing it for, but right. It's definitely not kindness to everyone else. So I would say that that was the part that was, I guess, most poignant mm-hmm. for me.
Let's push on that a little bit, because it's cognitively intuitive, but it's not emotionally intuitive. Why is it unkind to lower the bar for someone else?
Oh, because they require you. You make them dependent upon you, because the only time the bar is really going to be lowered is by you. It's an artificial lowering. And when they're with their own teams or out in your absence, there's not going to be an artificially deflated bar. And so we're not preparing people for our absence. And you know who why we really do it? It feels good to us.
Right, right. And in that moment, with your assistance, I have no chance of reaching my potential.
Yes.
And that's the price. Which is immeasurable.
Thanks for listening, everybody. And we would love to hear from you. If you want to figure out your workplace problem together, we'll co-produce the solution with you. Please send us a message. Email fixable@ted.com or call 234-FIXABLE. That's 234-349-4255.
2253.
Fixable is brought to you by the TED Audio Collective. It's hosted by me, Anne Morris.
And me, Frances Fry.
Our team includes Isabel Carter, Constanza Gallardo, Lydia Jean Cott, Grace Rubenstein, Sarah Nix, Michelle Quint, Corey Hagem, Alejandra Salazar, Ban Ban Chang, and Roxanne Highlash. This episode was mixed by Louie at Storyyard.
If you're enjoying the show, make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And tell a friend to check us out.
And one more thing. If you can, please take a second to leave us a review. It really helps us make a great show.
And it totally helps the search algorithm.